In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
You may have noticed in the bulletin that I've been sort of putting a little travelogue. I've been traveling a lot of late. Hopefully that's going to wind down here shortly, but I've been putting in there sort of what I've been doing. And a couple weeks ago, I had a chance to visit the All Saints camp and to go up for the Mommy and Me and Daddy and Me camp. And it was an opportunity to visit the camp, and I hadn't been there probably in about 10 years. And the first time I was there was about 40 years ago, okay? So it was interesting to just sort of revisit that place and bring back some of my memories when I was a counselor there and the experiences. And so I'll share one or two of those with you today. But it reminded me because in the Lampada, you'll read today an article by Gregory and Katrina and their parents that they wrote about their camp experience. And it was a very interesting and wonderful little article, so I encourage you to read that. But it got me to thinking about this whole idea of going up to camp and going away to camp and what that means. It's one of those, I think in the article, a life-changing experiences or a point of passage when a child goes to camp, and it can be very traumatic, as we know, for the children. But I would dare say it's as traumatic for the parents as it is for the children in some cases, because it's a situation in which parents have to learn to let go. And I thought of that in terms of our gospel today, because what we have in the situation that's presented in the gospel of this man that has this epileptic son, he takes his son to the apostles. And he does that in an act of trust, because his son's having problems, big problems. The child throws himself in the water and in the fire. The parent, I'm sure, is exasperated and doesn't know what to do. And here, the apostles hold out some hope that maybe the child can find some help. And so he trusts enough to go to the apostles and sends the child, as it were, into their hands. And as we know, unfortunately, the child could not be healed just at the hands of the apostles. But it's that act of entrusting, I think, that actually started the ball rolling. The Lord rebukes the man and the apostles and all of us as a generation that lacks faith to go the whole way, to fully entrust ourselves and each other and all of our life unto Christ our God, as we say in the liturgy. But this act of entrusting your child to somebody else, that's a good starting point. That's a good starting point to learn this process. And one of the things that helps to realize or to get through that, you know, over that, past that starting point, is to realize that God has entrusted that child, first of all, with you. That that is his child. That he's entrusted to you. And oh, by the way, not unto eternity, but for a period of time on this earth. And because eternally the child is his. Now, we, as all parents, will have a relationship of love with their children unto eternity. But the relationship while you're on earth is special. And so, and that's where the real call to faith is. Where the Lord, you know, for you who are parents, those of you who have been blessed to be parents, those of you who have been entrusted by God with his children, he has had faith in you. Faith that you would accept this child and that you would do right by that child. So if you can kind of understand that, then the next step, in a sense, is kind of a reversal of that. Where now you must entrust the child to somebody else. You must entrust that child to some 18-year-old counselor who was just a camper themselves 6 months ago. Isn't that scary? And if you look at it in those terms, you think, I'm not crazy. Of course not. But it's very easy to want to sanitize life in such a way that we protect our children instead of create this atmosphere and this environment of trust. I think it's a characteristic of our fallen and secular world and worldview today that there isn't a whole lot of trust. We're suspicious. And so, therefore, those same counselors this year, we have to get background checks on them. Because we don't trust them. They say that, you know, they're, you know, that they don't have any issues or whatever. But just to be sure, we have to get background checks. And the fact is, what that really means, and I'm not against background checks by any means. In fact, we will get background checks for our catechists and others in our own youth ministry program this year. But the point is, what's lacking is trust, you see. And the fact is that that lack of trust is, it's like a cancer. That when it's in our hearts, and God has trusted us, do we trust Him? You see, because what you're doing and what the call is when you send the kid to camp is that you're going to entrust that child in God. So that even in the hands of an 18-year-old counselor or 20-year-old counselor, that God will bless the child. Just as He entrusted His own son into the womb of an 18-year-old or 16-year-old young woman by the name of Mary, who got it right, and who also, responding in faith and trusting God, was able to allow God's will to be done. You see, so what we as people, brothers and sisters in the church, we're a people of trust. We're a people of faith, and you can be absolutely sure that that trust will be broken. There will be problems. There will be human failures. The key, though, is ultimately, are we putting our trust in the human beings and in the institutions? And again, in a worldly sense, that's all the world has. The world only has government. It only has its schools. It only has its institutions. So when the school fails, you get angry at the school. And instead, what we as Christians, we have a different view of this. We have received our children and our lives and so many other blessings from God in trust. But now what we're called upon to do is to trust Him. And so that even if you have the sick child and you take the child to this institution called the hospital, you have to entrust them to those doctors. You don't send the child alone. You watch over, you do your due diligence and all that sort of thing. But what you also send with the child is your faith. It's your faith that's supporting, that's lifting up that child in all of these circumstances, at the camp or at the hospital or at school. And if you send your child with that, then you create a bond of faith, a relationship of faith with the practitioner in the hospital, with the school teacher, with the counselor at camp or the camp staff. And so now this forms a network of faith and of trust, which then supports this activity in which the child finds him or herself. And if it's done in Christ, then not only is there this human element of trust and relationship that's present, but now God Himself becomes present. And He is the one to whom really you're entrusting your child when you send the child off to camp. I can tell you that over the years, as a counselor and even this past week, I could see and watch parents struggle with this. Because they love their children. They want so desperately for their child to be okay. And the letting go is harder for the parent than it is for the child. And oh, by the way, one of the reasons why the child gets upset is because the parent is upset. Inside. They may fake it, but deep down, it's what's really going on inside. If there's a real deep trust, if there's a real joy with the opportunity that a child has to participate in these things, that there's a buoyance to that that a child will pick up on. But if there's a suspicion, if there's a lack of trust that permeates our attitude, it's then little wonder that those in responsibility in schools today, especially teachers on the front lines, have such a difficult challenge because nobody trusts them. That they're going to, that the child is going to do okay, that the child is going to learn. But if that is there, then something else is going on. And that's what Jesus rebuked those present for, their lack of trust. Because you see, his message was, look, not only do we trust each other, but when we trust God and when you can trust me, then mountains can move. And that even if something like a cross happens, where seemingly things are going south, that it's, you know, it's bad, you know, the river rises at the camp and we don't know, or there's a storm or there's something terrible, or, you know, that we still can trust in the Lord in those moments. Even if the children are far, far away. Even if the child has grown up and now is on the other side of the earth. Or in college, or married, and we don't see them very much anymore, or even hear from them, despite the technology. You see, the question is whether that trust is going to be that supporting force of love and something that is positive. So that, and by the way, the thing that will help that trust grow in the child is when the child does mess up, when the child does somehow not live up to whatever it is that they needed to live up to, didn't clean their cabinet camp or whatever, that they know that the ultimate relationship of trust is not broken. And that they can get over that. You see, that's what we do in the church. You know, we have the mystery of confession. What that is that that's just God saying to us, look, my son, my daughter, I've entrusted to you this Christian life. And you messed it up. And so what you do is you just come and say, Lord, I've messed it up. Forgive me. You know what the Lord says? Go sin no more. I trust you. I trust you. Receive my love. Receive my forgiveness. Receive my strength. Be restored. Go out there and do it the way you know how to do it. And so in the course of this camp experience, in the course of watching the children grow up and experiencing that both as youth and as counselors on the sidelines and as parents and as pastors, as we go through this time, we see our own failures. We see, like this father in the story, where his trust was lacking, where he didn't have enough trust so that it would trigger the trust in the apostles. And the apostles themselves realized, as ministers of Christ, that their trust and their faith was lacking, and that they needed to just simply pray more and fast more and get more serious about this living relationship of trust that they had with Jesus, who had empowered them to move mountains and to heal and to cast out demons. We entrust our children liturgically in the church through the churching. And in about 4 or 5 days, when Dean and Dina bring their son to the church, we will really entrust the child to God through holy baptism. And each one of you that has had your children baptized, that's what you did, okay? Keep that child in God's hands. In faith, in prayer, and in fasting, commending the child's life. And for those who have children who are growing up or have grown up, continue to entrust them to the Lord and let that faith grow stronger, so that even if things seemingly are going south in their lives, God ultimately loves them. They are His, and that He will heal them. as he healed this boy in the story. He will bring his grace into life, overcome the fallenness of this world, overcome even death, so that when, God forbid, you lose a child to death, if you've entrusted that child to God in your life, then you can realize that this child is indeed God's and will remain forever with him. So then may the Lord make us faithful ones by his grace to so entrust our children to the Lord and each other to him as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.